Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Headlines on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
We'll do it live!
Venue Kings will have Seahawks tickets Thursday, 5 o'clock when the schedule comes out. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a discount. Lots of places to start. How about Tom Brady? According to SpotTrack.com, at the end of this year, Tom Brady will have made $333 million in his career. He just signed a deal with Fox for 10 years for $375 million to be their lead analyst when his career comes to an end. How about that?
A lot of cash right there. Mariners blasted last night. 9-0. They send Robbie Ray to the hill tonight, try to stop the bleeding against Aaron Nola. The good news, J.P. Crawford back in the lineup after missing a couple games. He is hitting the three-hole behind Frazier and France.
The Phillies also had a home run from this guy last night.
No team, no money. No
yes,
team,
they did.
No money.
NHL draft lottery coming up at 3:30. The Kraken have an 11.52168 chance of landing the number one pick in the NHL draft. Montreal has the best odds at 18.5. Arizona second most odds at 13.5. Kraken third most and the Flyers fourth most.
Al Horford hit for 30 to lead the Celtics to a win in Milwaukee, even up the series at 2-2. Warriors put up 39 in the fourth quarter, rally from double digits back to beat the Grizz, 101-98 to take a 3-1 lead.
And tonight, Sixers at Miami in the pivotal Game 5. It's tied at 2. Dallas and Phoenix in the pivotal Game 5, also tied at 2. And the NFL announcing one more schedule, by the way, one more game today on the schedule. Denver and the Rams. Stafford, Wilson, Christmas Day at 1:30 on CBS, game 2 of 3 that day.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, we finally heard from board member Teresa yesterday. She chimed in, was it this morning, late last night, said she's been in bed with a cold and didn't have time to vote.
Bed with a cold? She doesn't have her phone with her as she's in bed with a cold?
Maybe it was a terrible cold. I got no idea.
Wow.
I mean, this is what we talked about when we put the board together. We need you available 24-7 through thick and thin.
Boy, and you guys were giving me crap for texting you back 16 minutes late. She was like 11 hours late.
Normally, she gets back right away, so she must be pretty sick. So we just hope that she's doing okay.
Yes.
But by a vote of 6-3 yesterday, the POS board absolving you and I of any blame when Pauly Sewald got his ass kicked on Friday night against Tampa, which means six people on the board, no baseball, and three of them obviously do not.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
So nobody's perfect, right? Ian was complaining about that. He thought it would be like slanted towards us whenever a topic about you and me came up on the board, and clearly not the case because we had three members of the POS board, the Pit of Stupidity board, that were critical of you and I before the game on Friday.
Stupidity.
Not always going to work out in our favor. But, you know, lots of doom and gloom on the radio station today. And I kind of heard some of it on my walk with the dogs this morning from the biggest Mariner flag carrier of all in Chuck Powell.
Oh, he was going gloom and doom.
Going after service today. He's like, what are we doing here? What's with the lineup? What's happening at the top? What are we doing? Come on, Scott, let's go. Get it together. And so I thought to myself, if they've lost Chuck Powell, wow, this is going to be a dark, dark summer.
You know my long-term take on service. My long-term take on service is, in a word, I mean, that's been my long-term take on service. Good. Could take it or leave it. What I don't like about how he manages this baseball team is he is so matchup dependent, and he never allows for people to get slot into comfortable spots, whether it's bullpen spots, whether it's lineup spots. You throw the lineup card out, and you'll have this guy hitting fourth this day, and then he's hitting third that day, and then he's hitting seventh that day, and I mean, JP's hitting leadoff, then he's hitting third, then he's, I mean, it's just the Sewald's pitching in the eighth, then he's pitching in the ninth, then he's pitching in the tenth. Get these guys, and we've heard from Jeff Nelson before, and he has told, I know he's told you, he maybe I was with him as well. He said, part of the greatness about the bullpens back in the day was you knew exactly who was going to pitch in every situation that come. You just knew you were going to warm up before you were even asked to warm up, and I think we need to get back to that.
Well, I think that's part of the new analytical approach that him and Jerry Dipoto and other franchises like to take. I don't think that's unique to Seattle. I think a lot of teams do things like that, but a lot of teams have better talent than what Seattle's got, right? And that this to me, and again, am I in no way, shape, or form ready to bury this baseball team? I know you aren't either, but I will tell you this, that, you know, it's getting kind of lonely on Mariner Island here. There's a lot of people that are jumping off the wagon. I mean, it's like the Titanic, and people are hopping off with or without a life vest. Saying the hell with it, I'd rather swim than stay on this stupid thing. So, and it's past history, right? I mean, people give this franchise no benefit of the doubt, and they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you get to this point every year, the 10th of May, and you could literally call it what kind of questions you're going to hear on the radio station. I heard all the old reliables. Will they be above 500? At any point in time the rest of the year? I heard that today on the radio show. Is it time to panic? I heard that today on the radio
show. We've never
talked
about that before.
What part of the blame pie goes to players and what part of the blame pie goes to management? I've heard that one before. What will it take to get you out to a game? I've heard that one before. What will it take to get you to believe? I've heard that one before. And it's not our fault. Don't blame us for this mess that we're in with this baseball team in this town, because it's the same thing over and over and over again, which is why I would, again, if I'm John Stanton, and I've told you this a million damn times, like, for example, when the Blue Jays come to town, you know me, I would grab every damn employee by the back of the friggin' neck. Maybe in 2022, you can't do that because you'll get sued for putting your hands on anybody now. But I would nudge them along forcefully and say, how do we avoid this? How do we avoid 40,000 Canadians taking over our town when the Blue Jays come to town? And then the next meeting, the next day, would be the same type of thing. I'd bring them into a conference room, lock the damn door, and say, how do we avoid those dipsticks on KJR asking the same questions every May over and over and over and over and over again? I mean, it's just, it's Groundhog Day.
Yep.
And I get tired of it. And I know you get tired of it, and the listeners get tired of it. Nobody wants to tune into a radio station and hear people bitching and moaning all day long about the same thing every single spring, but that's what this franchise has done. And by the way, and I mentioned this with Furness and Crosstalk, you know this like I do, they've had six winning seasons since 2003. I bring up 2003 because 2003 was actually the end of maybe the most glorious run in Mariner baseball history. Because from 2000 to 2003, they had a winning record for 4 years in a row, and they went to the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Twice during that span. And they won 116 games and went to the ALCS, all right? So they never had four consecutive winning seasons outside of that little run there that we're talking about. Since then, they've had six winning seasons, and they've yet to do it consecutively. Every time this team has a winning season, they fall flat on their friggin' face the following season. And in most of those years, Dick, not only do they fall flat on their face, but they're terrible. Like 2006 to 2007, 2008 to 2009, 2013 to 2014, 2015 or 17 to 2018. So usually the following year, not only are they not 500, but they're just an awful, awful baseball team. And this is now the sixth time since 2003 that they will try and have consecutive back-to-back winning seasons. And that's, I mean, that to me is like the lowest of the bar that you can set for a franchise. Maybe right beneath that is just having one winning season.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it in consecutive years? And there's literally people walking around this town like your kids that have never seen it.
Not even close.
No idea.
It was 8 years before my son was born, and he's in middle school.
They have no idea what it's like to have back-to-back winning seasons. Jackson was like 10 the last time it happened. So you ask why people have no patience? You ask why people in this town are so damn skeptical and pessimistic about this franchise? And the one little glimmer of doom that comes their way, they run with it. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why. Don't blame the fans. Don't blame the media. Blame them. because they're the ones that did this to us.
Oh, there's no question. And I don't blame any Mariner fan for being skeptical at all. I mean, it's a completely different situation than the Seahawks. I mean, I think the Seahawks, based upon what they've done the last 10 years, deserve all benefit of doubts. The Mariners don't deserve any benefit of doubts. Now, that doesn't mean I'm jumping off the ship. We saw this last year, 26-game run between late April and late May. They went 8-18 during the same time frame we're in right now, and it got them to 5 games under .500. Well, right now they're 2-11 in the last 13 games, and if they lose tonight, guess where it'll get them? To 5 games under .500, which was the low water mark from last year. And once they reached that low water mark last year, they took off and did not look back. I mean, they dug, not only did they go 90-72, they dug themselves a 5 game under .500 hole and went 90-72.
Would you bet big money on that happening again?
I would bet big money on the Mariners bouncing back and being contenders. I'm not necessarily saying that I would bet big money on them, you know, about right away where they, you know, like last year winning, you know, 12 out of 17 and you know, just catching absolute fire, because they're more injured right now than they were last year at this time.
Well, and I think, again, when you win as many one-run games as they did a year ago, what was their record, like 33-19 or 17 or something like that? And, I mean, there's a lot of luck involved there with one-run games, right? You know, getting calls, balls bouncing a certain way, blah, 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 the wind blowing one way, yakety-yak. I mean, and they may not get that. They may not have that luck. At some point, you have to have better baseball players. And I think the roster is better. I agree with what Paul Sewald said Friday. This is a better baseball team than it was a year ago, but I still think they're going to have to be better, and maybe they won't get the breaks that they had a year ago. So, you know, I'm kind of like Switzerland right now with my confidence level in this baseball team. I'm not ready yet, as some are, to, you know, just completely take the thing out to pasture. I'm also not ready, like others are, to start quoting what they did a year ago and expect it to happen over again. They got to show me, right? I'm just, you know, I'm in a show me state. What's the show me state?
Missouri.
I'm Missouri. I am the show me state. That's where I am. I am literally in Missouri right now, waiting for these guys to show me. Everybody's panicking. The house is burning down behind me. Fire department's on their way. The last bus to safety is taken off, and I'm sitting there in my lawn chair having a popsicle waiting to see what happens. I mean, hey, man, I'm going to wait this out all night long, and I may wake up and this thing may be burnt to the ground when I wake up, or it could be rebuilt and look great. So I'm willing to do that, but, man, I see every single angle that any fan can come up with for this baseball team. And, look, they lost yesterday. And somebody would say, hey, it was one game. Well, first of all, it wasn't one game. They're 2-11 in their last 13 games. And in those 13 games, was it 2-9 or 2-11?
2-11.
2-11. They've scored 2 runs or less 9 times.
How many
during
times?
That stretch? 9 freaking times during that stretch, they've scored 2 runs or less. And I play the clip, but I can't find it.
I have no idea
where it is. It's here somewhere, okay? And that sucks, man, when you lose 9-0. When you lose 9-0, people are humiliated. When you lose 9-0, people are embarrassed. When you lose 9-0, people are apt to be more.
Nine times.
People are apt to be more upset than losing 5-4 in 14 innings.
That's true. But overall in the season, I think the fans' ire is a little bit misdirected because everybody's talking about the offense. The offense. The pitching staff in those 13 games has a 5 ERA. In the games preceding that 13-game stretch, it was a 3 ERA. So they basically went from a top 5 pitching staff in the league to a bottom 5 pitching staff in the league over the last 13 games. And overall, OPS, they're 14th in baseball. They are a dead average baseball team offensively on the season. They're 19th in ERA. Yeah. They've actually been a worst pitching team this year than they've been an offensive team this year.
Yeah.
I mean, well, is that not, am I misconstruing those numbers?
I mean, you're throwing a bouquet kind of at one side of the baseball team.
And no.
I don't think they deserve it.
I'm saying that they've been better than the pitching staff. That's all I'm saying.
Great. pitching staff isn't good.
But wouldn't you agree? My point is,
I think they both stink.
Wouldn't you agree that if you polled 100 Mariner fans and said, what's the problem with this team, hitting or pitching, 90% would say hitting. And that's inaccurate.
Well, who cares? though?
I mean, I just want to be accurate.
So you want the blame to be there. You just want to make sure the blame is going to the right side.
Yes,
of the ball.
It's kind of similar to what I said during the Seahawks season.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of like splitting hairs here, Dick, a little bit.
Well,
don't you think?
Just
be mad at the right people.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the same thing as I was talking about during the Seahawks season.
When everybody was
pissed at the defense, and I was like, well, no, you know what, guys? You're looking at the wrong side of the ball.
But so what, Dick? The team stinks overall. Why are we sitting here cutting up the blame pie and making sure people are upset at the right part of the pie? I mean, dude, we just said what we said. The offense in the last 13 games has scored two runs or less nine freaking times.
Nine times.
That's awful. That is awful.
It is awful.
That means that almost one half of the season, this run is almost one half of the year, like 40%. The offense has been dog crap. And we're sitting here talking about who we should blame. I mean, look, if you want to go down that road and you want to blame the pitching staff more than the offense, you do you. You do what you got to do. But if there's a fan out there that's pissed off at the offense as well, and maybe even more pissed off at the offense overall because they're looking at this from the top of the pyramid, like the last 4 or 5 years, by the way, and last year, I understand why people would be upset at the offense because during this run, the offense has been terrible. I mean, look at this. Going back to May 6th, 0-0-2-3-7-2-2-0. They've scored more than three runs once, and they lost that game. The other game, they scored three, and they also lost that game. They've scored two runs or less in the last 1, 2, 3, 6, 7 games, six times in the past eight. That's bad offense.
Yep.
And that's a huge part of this run they're on, a big reason why they're in this hole they're in right now.
I'm looking at the 10 games that Mitch Haniger played.
God, I hate this.
Yeah, I know. We do it every year.
I hate this.
I mean, I'm looking at the 10 games that Mitch Haniger played this year. They scored two runs or less only three times out of 10. Seven times out of 10, they scored more than that.
Well,
and he is a big part, and J.P. Crawford's a huge part, and it's good to get him back today. I mean, you're missing two of your best four bats the last three games.
No, for sure. I mean, those guys getting banged up. I mean, part of it, too, Texas, Kansas City, the schedule, you know, teams like that. Then you start playing teams like Tampa and Houston, and things kind of fall apart. I don't know. I mean, they were doing better early in the year. There is no doubt about that. They were better early in the year. How much of that was kind of a fluke? How much of what's happening lately is kind of a fluke? I just feel like there's a pit in my stomach, even for the most optimistic people out there. You have to have that pit in your stomach that you wonder, are we doing this again with this baseball team? Are we doing it again?
Gotta wonder that.
And let's hope not, right? I mean, obviously, we're all hoping that we're looking at a totally different thing right here. And let's hope this franchise, as of right now, is like a cat and they're just barfing up a hairball and they're getting it out of the way right now before things really start to pop later in the year, like they did a year ago.
I mean, if they're going to pull out of it, at least we'll, and if they don't pull out, at least we'll know we don't have to give up any prospects at the trade deadline. I mean, if there's one small silver lining to not competing this year, it's that you don't have to give up your fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth best prospect for an extra veteran bat at the trade deadline this year, which you would. So I guess the worst case scenario is to be just good enough where you think you have to give up those prospects to get the bat, and then you fall three or four games short of a playoff spot. That's the worst possible scenario.
Yeah. Well, look, these next two games kind of feel fairly big, you know, against a not very good baseball team. And then you get the Mets for three, and then Toronto for three, and then Boston for four at Fenway Park, and then you're coming back home against the A's and the Astros. So this is a tough little stretch for them, but I feel like we're on repeat. Every single freaking May, we're on repeat with this baseball team. Every now and then, there's an exception where they pop and they're out of the gate hot like they were a couple years ago. But it's like just insert year here, right? We could replay any radio show that we've done in May for the last 20 years, and you could put it on the air right now, and people would have no idea. No idea. Oh, that show was actually 7 years old. Really? I had no idea.
Guys, this is all actually audio from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Believe it.
What you're hearing now actually is from 2018.
I did like, though, I have to say, as bad as it was to watch the Mariners go through the mid-2010s, I did look forward to every single July, the Mount Softy, when the season was truly over on, like, July 15th, where he'd start the monologue at 3 o'clock, and he'd get gradually louder and louder and louder, and then he would just lose it, and it would happen every year like clockwork in the middle of July. I actually thought that fun. That show was one of my favorites of the summer.
Great. So just you're just mocking me for being angry.
No,
right?
I'm saying we all feel
joy in my misery. Is that what you're doing? You son of a bitch. Huh? Is that what you're doing every year? Taking joy in my misery, laughing at me?
We feel it too, man.
My God.
Well, what
the hell is going on? I mean, what is going on? And this is, again, and this is one of the reasons why I hate this, because I tell myself every year, I'm not going to have an opinion until, like, July.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, in the middle of May, when they lose 9 of 11, we have an opinion. And we have no choice but to have an opinion. Really, we should not have an opinion either way, whether good or bad. They could be, what's their record now, Dick?
13 and 17.
They could be 17 and 13, and we'd have a totally opposite take on what they're doing right now.
And they could be
now.
Easily 17 and 13. It's a hit there, a stop our, there, that's
yes,
it.
And our tone is totally different because of four games.
Right.
They've played how many weeks of baseball now? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
So we're talking an extra win every 10 days.
That's it.
And that is what our tone and our mood is dictated on and set by, which when you put it like that, sounds ridiculous.
Well, which is why I think you're taking the right approach, because you're not taking the "this is awful again" approach. You're saying, all right, this is concerning. That's all you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, aren't we kind of all Missouri right now?
Yeah.
Or I'll just show me, right? I mean, you want to get people really uber-duber fired up, then show me and go on a run. How about you do something stupid? How about you go out and you win like 15 straight?
Boom.
How's that? Yeah. Honestly. Go do something that nobody expects you to do. Go do something that nobody in this town has seen for like 15 years. Go win 10 in a row.
Well,
and get people off your damn back.
In order to do that, it has to come down to the starting rotation. Because I think we can all agree that this offense is currently constructed, particularly without Mitch Haniger, is not going to consistently score 5 runs a game in order to do that. So the pitching staff, Robbie Ray's got to be the Cy Young Award winner starting tonight.
He's pitching tonight, right?
Kirby has got to do what he did last game.
Ooh,
Logan's got to do what he's been doing all year. And then Flexen, I don't know what happened to Flexen last night. And then you need Marco to pitch like the Marco we've seen at times where he actually kind of looks like a poor man's ace.
Well, Robbie Ray, his last two starts inherited a 3-game losing streak each time and was not able to stop it. Now he's inheriting a team that is trying to avoid starting a new losing streak. So that's why you sign the guy, right?
Paid him to be an ace.
To end this stuff.
What was Jackson's definition? Yeah.
Somebody that ends a losing streak, which is tonight.
He hasn't done that yet.
Do it.
Obviously, it's only one game, but it feels like it's been longer than that, right? I mean, without Toro's home run on Sunday, they're looking at 8 in a row right now. And they haven't played well. They're not scoring runs. I mean, look, it's why Mount Softy kind of gave you a little right there on the air in that last few seconds. Like, remember when St. Helens back in the day started leaking?
It burped a little bit. Yeah,
you know,
March. Yeah.
You weren't even alive for that. Mount Softy's like, over here a little bit, right? Just a little bit coming out. That the pitching staff, you're exactly right, Dick, has not been good. But at the exact same time during this run that they're on, the offense has been crap at the exact same time. So the whole thing is a big is what it is. Let's get a break. We'll come back and talk more about that. Get some texts as well at 445. The NHL draft lottery, by the way, is minutes away. Will the Kraken land the number one pick and the rights to Shane Wright? Get the rights to Wright. We'll find out in a few minutes and tell you what's going on next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
How about this news from the NBA? Ja Morant. What movie? Ja. You ever see Dune? Ja.
The old one?
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Remember that? With Kyle MacLachlan? Those little guns they had, or the laser pistols, or the things on their wrist. Duh. Remember that?
You watch movies over and over again. I only watch them once, so I don't get the, the finer details.
You've never seen a movie more than once.
Oh, ever. Not never. I mean, there's so, I have favorites that I've watched. I mean, I've watched Star Wars like 41 times.
Episode 4? You've seen 41 times?
Oh, I've probably seen 4, 5, and 6, a minimum of 20 apiece.
So between Jedi, Empire, and New Hope, which one have you seen the most of those three? Episode 4, A New Hope?
Yes.
How many times?
Not as many as you, but probably 20.
20 times.
20 times.
Okay. Jackson?
New Hope, I've probably only seen about...
No. The one movie that you've seen more than any other.
Oh,
and how many times? I saw Return of the King in the theater 7 times.
In
the theater. 7 times.
Did you stay there all day and just watch it over and over and over and over?
I just kept going back. 7 times I saw that movie and loved it every single time. Okay?
Yeah. For me, it probably is the first Back to the Future because I always thought...
Wow.
I think to myself, I'm going to do all three, and I'm going to just do a trilogy over a weekend, and I always watch the first one, and I don't get around to watching
it. It is so awesome.
Two.
And when it came out, it was my favorite movie came out. Yeah. I was like, my God, this is awesome.
Well, I told you my my take on Marty McFly when he's in the original, when he's on the bench, and his girlfriend kisses him and gives him the note, and her dad picks her up at that moment in time when they look at his face. And they start playing Huey Lewis, he is the baddest mother chicken on the face of the earth right then and there. Mm-hmm. In that little 2-second window, like, you son of a bitch.
Those
you are the
greatest,
baddest mofo alive.
The greatest things about those 80s movies is, like, those guys were the, like you were saying, there's so many movies back then, whether it's Michael J. Fox or Patrick Swayze or whatever, there's that moment in each one of those movies where you're like, dude, I want to be you, man.
I think Back in Time is one of the more underrated Huey Lewis songs, for sure.
Song.
Very, very underrated. Well, here's the jaw news I was getting at. Ja Morant has a bone bruiser in his right knee, is out for the rest of the postseason.
Bye-bye! they played well last night.
They did. They covered, like you said. They hung tough last night against Golden State, but they're not going to beat that basketball team without Ja.
No way. I mean, even if they would have won that game last night and gone 2-2, you could have still thrown it away.
Well, we're keeping an eye on the NHL draft lottery. Why? Ask me why.
Why?
Because we have a team now. That's
what?
Why. And we do things like that.
How'd they do this year?
Not very good, but that's fine. It was year one. the draft lottery is going to start any minute from now. And apparently they do, I don't know the actual format. Ian was explaining it to me, but it was in French, and I couldn't understand what he was talking about. They have two different lotteries, one for, like, the number one pick and then one for everything else, if that makes any sense.
Okay. All right.
Dick, I don't even know if that's true.
He's probably pulling one over on
you, I talked about getting Benton on and asking him about the left winger from Russia. Cut your cock off. And just making up names.
I saw him play. He's really good.
Well, Benton's the kind of guy that may come on the show and actually try and talk his way out of it. Because the problem, how many times have you been on a show as a guest and they ask you a question and you think to yourself, you know, like, I should probably know this.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking me.
Yes.
So the odds of those guys messing with you and making something up and, like, planning a question, that never crosses your mind when you're on as a guest on a show like Dick Baird. Next time you talk to Coach Baird, he'll tell you, okay? He and...
This kid doesn't look Jewish.
Somebody else, I forget his name, like when the internet first launched and Dogman first came online and blah, 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 they made up a name of a high school player and just threw it out there. Some made up fictitious guy.
It's like Sid Finch of the 80s, right?
Exactly. And so Baird and this other dude had all these other recruiting coordinators scrambling to figure out who this guy was. It's unbelievable. They just planted this name. So next time we talk to Benton, we'll ask him about Cut Your Cock Off Siberia and get his thoughts on that. But the NHL draft lottery is coming up. The Kraken have a 11.5% chance of landing the number one pick. Those are the third best odds. Montreal at 1, Arizona at 2, Kraken at 3, and the Philadelphia Flyers at 4. There's this guy, Shane Wright, that plays in the Ontario League that everybody is thinking is going to be the number one pick in the draft. But my secret sources in the NHL, really a lot of them overseas, to be honest with you, Dick. My sources tell me there's a kid, and I'm not making this name up at all because Furness mentioned it as well. I'm going to butcher his name, and he pronounced it properly. Juraj Slafkovsky.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm getting a jersey. If we get him, I'm getting a jersey. Can you even put the letters on the back of a jersey, or do you need two lines
and
to
I
do
don't
that?
Even know. There's a 99% chance I'm mispronouncing his name.
What's his name?
Juraj Slafkovsky. Slavkovsky. Sounds like a kid I went to Sunday school with. He's a left winger, and he plays in Finland. And apparently the gap between Shane Wright and Slavkovsky is shrinking by the weeks, that this guy may overtake him as the number one pick in the NFL draft. So as soon as we know what the Kraken are doing and where they're picking in the NHL draft, you will know on the radio.
I think you're right. Juraj, J-U-R-A-J.
Yeah.
Slavkovsky. Yeah. I think you got it. I think you nailed it.
I don't know. I mean, his first name may be pronounced differently. I got no idea. But we're going to announce it on the air as soon as we find out about the NHL draft, because it's cool to have lotteries, right? Like you and I growing up as kids and even working for this radio station, the day the NBA had the lottery and the Sonics had a chance, even in 08 when they had Durant.
I thought it might save the franchise.
Ago, that was a big deal. But even before that, it was a huge event in this town. The NBA draft lottery and the NBA draft itself were gigantic events, not just for the town, but also for this radio station.
They were huge, and this year's big. We need a big-time player to go along with Matty Beniers and whoever Ron Francis picks up in free agency this year.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to keep an eye on that. John Wilner is going to join us on the radio show. Brian Schmetzer is going to be with us about 5:45 tonight.
This is a massive deal for the club.
And talk about last week and the party that seemingly lasted forever. And apparently the party lasted through Saturday in Dallas, because they looked like they were still partying in that game. So we'll talk to Brian. There's a chance we may, by the way, visit with Ron Francis between now and the end of the show and get their thoughts on what their plans are for the draft. So when we come back, there's a chance we might know if the Kraken have the number one pick in the NHL draft. Keep it right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRF.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
I mean, name me a Huey Lewis song that you don't love, right? I mean, who doesn't like Huey Lewis and the news? And it's like just like unpatriotic. It's un-American to not like Huey Lewis.
And I loved them even before Back to the Future came out. And then when Back to the Future came out, I just went nuts. I started buying all the tapes and all that sort of stuff.
Do you remember when you heard and saw them for the very first time? I know where I was and what I saw it on, but you remember that?
No.
When the video for I Want a New Drug hit MTV. And that's the first time I'd heard of Huey Lewis. And he's sticking his face in the sink with the ice cubes in there, wiping his crap off his face. And he's talking about wanting a new girlfriend or a new drug or something to get him all fired up. And that video was, this is like the mid-80s, when the first time I saw Huey Lewis in that video for I Want a New Drug on MTV. And I thought, this guy is awesome. And he's awesome. And the whole thing is awesome. So anyway, I tell you what's not awesome. You know what? One of my biggest pet peeves out there, by the way, you guys saw my pet peeve about bartenders and sporting events on TV over
totally
the weekend that
you
got everybody all fired up about that. Like that's some new thing that somebody would bring to the table. Bartenders that have no idea that your favorite sports team is even playing. Like you go to a bar on a Sunday afternoon and there's two TVs on and one of them has a basketball game and the other is like stuck on a cooking show on some network that hasn't been turned off in a week because they haven't bothered to change the channel.
Right.
Drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, it's more the manager's responsibility, I think.
Well,
to
whoever.
The manager of if it's truly a sports bar, the manager at the beginning of the day, one of his duties literally should be to make a list of the pertinent sporting events that are on that day, what time they start, and what channel they are. So every single wait staff person can just go to the list and say, oh, it's on channel 173.
I think if you are really a professional as a bartender, and you really take pride in your craft, you will handle that yourself. That's just my own personal feeling. I think if you need to rely on a manager to do it for you, then you're not doing your job. I think it's one of the first things you got to do, man. Make sure you're properly stocked with all the liquor it takes to make all the most commonly made drinks. and then make sure that you know what's on TV and what time the games are starting, and make sure you know how the remotes work. How often do you go to a bar and the poor bastard doesn't even know how to work the remote?
I went.
Well, can you help me? Do you know which one it is? No, I don't work here. You're supposed to know that. It drives me crazy. But you know what else drives me crazy? Is when sporting events don't start on time. When they say 3:30, the NHL draft lottery will begin, and it's now almost 3:50, and the damn thing hasn't even begun.
Maybe Francis isn't there. Maybe he got stuck in traffic or something.
I mean,
they're waiting for
good
him.
Good grief.
Lighten up, Francis.
No, you're to your point, though. I mean, I was in downtown Spokane, and that Red Robin right there, right across the street from the mall in Spokane.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to watch a game. And I don't even remember which game it was, but it was in March. I just wanted to watch a game. I told him exactly what channel it was on. I go, I don't care which TV you put it. Can you put it on one of them? Ask three different times and just, we will.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we'll. Right. No problem. And it's nothing. But you know what? I have no problem with that being a... What do you tip based on? You tip based on how good your food is, how fast the service is, and whether they do what you ask, right?
I usually just tip on how good a time I have. And if I go in there and I'm in a good mood and I stay in a good mood and the bartender takes care of me...
Yeah.
He's usually fairly attentive. I know they're busy with other people and things are going on, and a lot of restaurants are short-staffed right now, certainly. But and look, I mean, the whole TV thing, I get it if it's like some random game. Like if I walked into that Red Robin bar that you were at and said, hey, can I watch the Tigers and Red Sox?
Right.
And the guy has no idea what channel. They don't even have the MLB.
Oh, do you know what it was?
I'm
it was an NCAA tournament game. That's what it was.
Dick,
it was
I'm
an
talking
NCAA
about
game.
The freaking Mariners. The Mariners or the Seahawks or the Kraken or the Huskies or whatever. Any local team has to take precedent at any bar. That's why they have TVs. Why do you think they have TVs? So they can show Happy Days reruns? So they can have sporting events on TVs? By the way, we have some breaking news here to get to.
Is it good news?
On the radio station. It is not exactly great news. Not the news that you were looking for if you are a Seattle Kraken fan. The odds of the Kraken landing Shane Wright and the odds of the Kraken landing Juraj Slafkovský have taken a major hit, because the Kraken, it was just announced, despite having the third best odds in the NHL draft, will be picking fourth in the NHL draft in this coming draft.
Can they still get your guy Ivan there, though?
Ivan Kachikagov?
Yeah.
Well, there's three of them. There's Ivan, there's Boris, and there's a third one.
Yusuf?
Slava, I believe. Yeah, Slava Kachikagov. So they could get one of the three. There's three brothers, like the Hansen brothers, and they're all lunatics.
Nice.
So I mean, that's kind of a bummer, right, to have a fourth pick in the draft? What the heck?
I don't know how deep the draft is. That's something, if Ron Francis comes on, we can find out. I mean, is there a huge line underneath Shane Wright? Is there a huge line underneath your, what was your guy's name?
Juraj Slafkovský.
Slafkovský.
Those are generally, I think, regarded as the top two prospects, and the gap between the two is apparently closing.
Okay, but where do we know where the gap is after those two?
I don't know that. I don't know that. We can get Ron Francis on and ask him if he knows, and I'm sure he does know. I just had my eyes on Shane Wright. I thought it'd be awesome to have that kind of buzz in this town for a kid like that. So there you go. Kraken going to pick number four in the draft. We'll get a break. No. We got more time. Sorry,
speaking of buzz.
Why'd I do that, by the way?
Speaking of buzz. I don't know.
It's like a little bike, a little. No, it's all
damn
right
it
now.
I'm what? Pissed off. I don't want to be here anymore.
The Mariners will make you feel better tonight when they get a win with Robbie Ray.
There you go.
Speaking of buzz, what kind of buzz will there be for the Kraken in October of this year when season two starts and it's not a new arena anymore and it's not a new franchise anymore?
I mean, I think, look, you and I have a little bit of a different take on that. First of all, the tickets are already sold, right? They're all sold, because when you bought season tickets, you had to sign up for, a 3, 5, or a 7-year plan. I got the 3-year plan, right? That's just kind of how I roll. But the tickets are sold, so that's number one. When they announce tickets sold, it's not people there, another pet peeve of mine.
Right.
It's how many tickets they've sold. And I think if they start winning and Beniers is turning into a star, and instead of losing 7 of every 10, they're winning 5 of every 10, I think people will jump on the wagon. I think ticket prices will not be as expensive as they were last year on the secondary market, for sure.
Well, they dropped considerably by January.
No, for sure. And they're going to come down again. I think when the season starts... Like, when the season started last year, it was really expensive to get in, right? You know that. That's not going to be the case this year. So, look, I mean, you're asking me what the buzz is going to be like. Tell me how they play. If they get out to a hot start, then, yeah, I think the buzz will be just fine. But this is an expansion team, again, and I get your point about how Vegas had different rules than the previous 10 or 11 expansion teams going back to, like, 1990, but they're also the only one to make the playoffs of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they make the playoffs because they just struck gold and they got lucky? Or did they make the playoffs because the new rules really made it a lot easier for them to make the playoffs, and the Kraken should have done the same thing because they also were playing by the same rules? The problem with this approach to the expansion rules that Vegas and Seattle had is that they are the only two teams that ever got to play by those rules.
Right.
There's only two teams to look at. Now, if we had an expansion team every single year playing under those entry rules that you're talking about, and they were all making the playoffs, and the Kraken were the only team that didn't, I think that would maybe be more telling.
I guess I'm just – I just go back to almost every expert we had on
right.
at the beginning of the season before it started, and they were all pretty much in alignment over how good the team was going to be. And they all said
yeah.
they're going to compete for a playoff spot.
Right.
I mean, to the person we had on, they're all said they people smarter than us that know hockey a thousand times more than we do, they're all going to compete for a playoff spot, and that couldn't have been further from the truth. So I just wonder how that's going to carry over to next year.
Yeah, I mean, look, and maybe all those people were wrong. I mean, I'm not a big enough hockey head to tell you that they had the roster that would have been competitive for a playoff spot. I just know this, that after the expansion draft happened, there were a lot of people disappointed with their roster, including the guy that's on the air before you and me, right? And so I don't know, maybe his take changed on that. Maybe those takes were wrong. Maybe all those takes were based on what Vegas did. I've asked you this before. I've asked people before the same question. If what happened in Vegas did not happen, would we have had the same opinion about the Kraken last year? Like, if they had blown it, maybe, right? If mm-hmm. they had not struck gold and been lucky the way they did, I still feel like a lot of the expectations that people had of the Kraken in year one were a direct result of what Vegas did in year one.
I think partially so, but we were also being warned that, hey, we're not going to be Vegas, right? All those experts that we had on said they're not going to be Vegas, so don't expect the Stanley Cup playoffs, but expect competitive hockey, and we didn't get it in year one.
You tell us, 49451 on the text line, the Tullamore Dew text line. How big of a downer, how big of a disappointment was year one for the Kraken? Is it fair to be critical of them for the way year one went? Should they simply put have been better than they were because of the way things were set up for expansion teams? So get your thoughts on that at 49451. Also, Denver and the Rams playing on Christmas Day. You can root for Russell Wilson, or you can root for an NFC West rival. We'll chat about that next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.